First, a new report shows that Wisconsin has more women state lawmakers than ever before. According to the state legislature's nonpartisan research office, there are 41 women serving in the Assembly and Senate. That comes out to 31% of the legislature. In the last session, there were 34 women. That trend isn't just happening in Wisconsin. A different report, this one from Rutgers University, says women are picking up seats in other state legislatures across the country. Plus, a record number of women are serving in Congress. So why are more women being elected to public office, and what could that mean for public policy? You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the trend? More women getting elected successfully now to higher office? Do you think women bring something unique to the table? What challenges do women face when it comes to running for office? Have you run for office yourself? If you're a woman, were there unique things you ran into along the way? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Laurel White is WPR's state government reporter. Laurel, good to have you back with us.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Well, spell out the trends for us for the last few sessions, please.
Well, you know, as with so many things in life, it's not a complete straight upward trajectory, right? We've had sort of peaks and valleys of female representation in the legislature over the years. But we've definitely seen since 2018 in particular, some pretty marked increases for women nationwide. I thought it was really interesting. You mentioned that Legislative Reference Bureau report that came out last month, and they actually tracked the number of female lawmakers over time and all of the sessions that we've had in Wisconsin. And the record now, as you mentioned, is 41 female representatives in both the Assembly and the Senate. Previously, the record was 37, and that had been set in 2003 and in 1989 before these recent sessions. So you see, obviously, a pretty big discrepancy there in terms of, you know, the time that we went between those two previous records.
And for the partisan breakdown, what do we see Democrats and Republicans doing when it comes to women in the legislature?
So we actually have seen, and this is interesting in the context of national trends, because Republican women did better in this last election than Democratic women did. Democrats did really well in 2018. In Wisconsin, we've seen more female representation in the Democratic Party. Actually, the Assembly Democratic Caucus reached gender parity during the last legislative session for the first time. So that was a pretty big deal and certainly an important milestone there. We haven't seen the Republican caucuses reach that yet.
How about leadership positions in the legislature? Are we seeing women entering those kind of top spots that get to help set the agenda?
We are. And obviously, this is going to happen more and more as the numbers increase, just kind of naturally. Right now in the state Senate, we have two women leading the Democratic Party. Senator Janet Buley is the minority leader. Senator Janice Ringhand is the assistant minority leader. So an all-female leadership team for the two top spots in the Senate. In the Assembly, Diane Hasselbein is the assistant minority leader. So we certainly have some women in leadership roles there. I think it's important to mention that, you know, outside of the party leadership in the chambers, two of the most important jobs in the state legislature are the co-chairs of the Joint Finance Committee, the State Budget Committee. And we had for quite a while there a female co-chair in Senator Alberta Darling, but she wasn't nominated to fill that role again this legislative session for the first time in a while. So we're back to having two male co-chairs of joint finance for this session.
You've been following Laurel, the state capitol, for quite a while now, and you get to talk to lawmakers and their staffs. Are people aware of this? Are they remarking on the change, the long-term change of seeing more women in these elected offices?
It's definitely been a subject of discussion at the Capitol. You know, I mentioned the Assembly Democrats reaching that parity for representation during the last session. That was something they really wanted to highlight and talk about, something that they were really proud of. I think the conversations about this really represent the broader cultural conversation about female representation, which is, you know, some folks say, I don't want to be elected because I'm a woman. I don't want to be thought of as a female lawmaker. I just want to be thought of as a lawmaker and not really put in that box. While others say, you know, I bring this set of experiences to the table. This is really valuable. This is a big part of who I am. And I think that that's an important contribution. So we definitely see in the little microcosm of the state legislature, an example of the conversations I think that are happening across the country and really across the world about female representation.
Laurel, thanks a lot for sharing your reporting with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio's state government reporter. We talked with her about the rise in the number of women in Wisconsin's state legislature. Now we're going to talk about what this all means for public policy and for the future of women in elected office. Kathleen Dolan is a distinguished professor of political science at UW-Milwaukee. Her areas of expertise include women and politics. Kathy, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, as we mentioned earlier, we've seen this rise here in Wisconsin, not just here in Wisconsin, in state legislatures around the country and in Congress itself. What do you think is behind this trend, maybe in some ways long-awaited trend, of getting more women into legislatures?
Well, so the first thing that we would want to say is let's keep in mind that while women are at an all-time high in terms of their service in the U.S. Congress and in the Wisconsin legislature, that they're still dramatically underrepresented. So women are about 25 or 26% of the U.S. Congress and about 31% of the Wisconsin legislature and about 52% of the population. So what we have seen is a slow but relatively steady increase in the number of women in office at all levels in the United States. And if there is one sort of fundamental reason for both the increase, but the slow nature of the increase, it is that women are elected to office at the same proportion as they are of candidate pools. And so the key to electing more women to office is to get more women to run for office.
And I've talked to some people who research this, and it sounds like there are some obstacles out there for women in getting them into that role of running for office that men don't face. What are some of the challenges to overcome there?
Well, so one of the basic challenges is, as you pointed out in your conversation with Laurel, that here in the Wisconsin legislature, two-thirds of the women who serve do so as Democrats. That is the case nationally. About somewhere between 65 to 70% of the women who hold office in the United States do so as Democrats. And so one of the challenges is to make sure that women candidates have the same opportunities on both sides of the aisle, as it were, or within both of the two major political parties. So women Democrats are successful because they run for office much more often than do women Republicans. So there is research to suggest that party leaders need to understand the very basic notion that when women run for office, they win, and they need to make efforts to increase the diversity of their candidate pools. So the people, you know, who have some control over nominations are important here. The other thing is, you know, as you sort of framed things there, and in your conversation with Laurel, you suggested that, you know, there are all of these sort of barriers. There are many fewer barriers than people assume there are. And one of the other things that's key is to convince women and to make sure they understand the actual reality of the world, which is that there are many fewer barriers to women's entry into office than there ever have been. When women run for office, they win at the same rates as do men, sometimes even at higher rates, and that they won't necessarily face a daunting uphill climb when they do try to run.
And then when it comes to the impact of having women in office, I've heard some researchers say having more women in office does change some of the legislative focus. On the other hand, you look and you could say, okay, there are women on the far left of the Democratic Party and women on the far right of the Republican Party at all points in between. Women in office, do they legislate any differently than their male counterparts?
Some women do, and it does sort of break down along partisan lines as well as individual personal lines. There is a lot of evidence that shows that in both state legislatures and in the U.S. Congress, that women are more likely to drive legislation that has sort of what we might think of as a differential impact on women's lives, whether it's health issues or health care issues. So, for example, you know, the idea that we now include women in medical trials and in drug trials and in different, you know, scientific trials around the country, that was a change that was moved by women in Congress, sort of, you know, pushing legislation to require that we investigate women's, you know, healthcare issues and we include women's bodies in studies. So there is lots of evidence that women can legislate differently than their male colleagues as they are attendant to different issues that affect women. But at the same time, many of those women who do so are Democrats. Because, as Laurel suggested, there are certainly women who don't identify their gender identity as primary. They don't see themselves as legislating on different issues. And in American politics today, those women tend to be Republican.
We're talking about the growing number of women lawmakers in state governments, including Wisconsin, plus at the federal level in Congress, growing, but still, as our guest says, underrepresented compared to the population at large. Kathleen Dolan stays with us, distinguished professor of political science at UW-Milwaukee. And you could join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your questions, and your maybe experiences running for office yourself. Are you glad to see the numbers of women in elected office going up? Would you like to see more? Do you have questions about whether women have unique obstacles? Our guest says there aren't as many unique obstacles for women as some might think. And if you're a woman, have you thought about running for some kind of public office at any level? Have you done it? What was your experience like? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're continuing our conversation about women serving in state legislatures, in Congress, and elsewhere in elected office. This session of the state legislature has a record number of women in the Assembly and Senate here in Wisconsin, about a third of the legislature with 41 members, up from 34 in the last session. Still a lower percentage than women as a whole in the population at large. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Let us know what you think of the growing number of female lawmakers, what your hopes and concerns for them are. And if you're a woman who has considered running for office or run for office for yourself, let us know what it was like, how it went for you. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Kathleen Dolan stays with us, distinguished professor of political science at UW-Milwaukee. She's a distinguished professor of political science there, and her areas of expertise include women and politics. Now, Kathleen, we hear representation matters in a lot of different contexts. Is that true here? If, say, girls growing up see women serving in elected office, running for office, that might make them more likely to do so when they get older?
In part, yes. So one of the things that we understand is if a legislative body is representative of a population, that tells us that there aren't any particular barriers to people entering, right? So if you have racial minorities who are represented in a legislature, if you have women who are represented in a legislature, then that tells us that everybody has opportunities. And then there are, of course, individual decisions that people make whether to run or not. There is some evidence that suggests to us that when girls and young women see people like themselves in office, it signals to them that it's a perfectly normal and particularly legitimate thing to do to run for that office. So lots of people are delighted by the election of Vice President Kamala Harris, because that shows us that, you know, women can achieve almost the highest office in the land. But we also do know that the role model effect is most important when families help girls make those connections. And so, you know, little girls are not necessarily watching the national news and reading the newspaper by themselves, but instead, you know, in family environments where parents expose them to role models, discuss politics and leadership as a legitimate sort of, you know, set of goals for people to pursue, then, you know, girls can see that there are people like them who do that.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Leslie is with us in Madison. Leslie, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up, Leslie? Yep, I can hear you.
I was calling because I was thinking about moms with children, and I think that I know there are a lot of men and women who have children in politics, but I do think that that would be a particular barrier for women, because at least in the community that I am in, I still see a lot of traditional gender roles of women doing more childcare, staying home with their kids when they're sick, and then, you know, when you have babies, going on maternity leave. It's like the same as how whenever you have a child, it takes you out of the workplace for a while. And then that same thing doesn't happen to men, so wouldn't that be a barrier to being involved in politics?
Leslie, thanks for the call. Kathy, expectations of childcare roles different for men and women, maybe even in the political world.
So Leslie has certainly hit on something that is an important part of the issue. And it is something that, if we look back over time, was very much an important issue that kept women out of politics, at least at certain points in their lives. And one of the things we saw in the past is that women came into office for the first time at an older age, right? That women often waited until their children were grown and out of the house to start a political career, where men started as soon as they wanted. That's something that's changing. That's something that's changing slowly but surely. There have been efforts, right, to recruit younger women to office, to recruit young mothers into running for office. So Leslie is absolutely right that she has identified a very sort of still traditional part of American life where women absorb most of the you know, work and impact of children and family life. But there is some evidence of change. And there are things that we can do as a political society to make things easier for women. There were some women who ran for office in 2020 who were pushing for the states in which they ran to pass laws that would have allowed them to use monies they raised in their campaigns to pay, say, for childcare or to pay for a nanny to accompany them, you know, to campaign events or something like that. So we are starting to see states around the country, and we're starting to see the Federal Elections Commission nationally consider, you know, whether that is an appropriate and legitimate use of campaign funds. And if something like that were to become more common, then that could give women more opportunities. So there are structural things we can do to make it easier for women to run at younger ages, women with children, women with young children. You know, there's also work that we can do as a political society, right, to help women push back against some of these very traditional gender roles and to get fathers and husbands to be support staff, right, in the same way that women have traditionally been. Leslie has touched on something that is real and legitimate, but is also changing in what could be a positive direction.
Leslie, thanks for the call. We'll go to Steve now in Sun Prairie. Steve, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. One of the things I would love to see change is that, unfortunately, people view women, especially in the liberal media, as being monolithic, that they all must think the exact same way. They all must be liberal. They all must be lefty. They all must be progressive. And that women who are right of center are treated terribly. And I would love to see women support all women, not only certain women. in order to see women succeed.
Steve, thanks for the call. Kathy, do you think there is some bias against women who are, as Steve says, right of center?
So, I love callers to WPR because they always hit on the important issues. What Steve is identifying is something that is a piece of what Steve is identifying is an important thing in American politics, because we do tend to think of women as a monolithic block, and his phrasing is absolutely right. If we look at women in the United States, women are more likely to identify as Democrats and to run for office as Democrats. And, in the public, that's about a 60-40 split. For candidates, it's more like a 65-35 split. But that framing, that understanding of women, as more likely to be Democratic than Republican, does sort of hide the fact that, somewhere between 30 and 40% of American women are Republicans and are conservatives. And so it is important for us to understand the diversity among women in exactly the same way it's important for us to understand the diversity among men. The degree to which Republican or conservative women, get treated poorly in the media, I'm not going to say that I see a lot of evidence of that, because I think it may depend in part on what you look at, right? I don't think Fox News is treating Republican women badly. It may be that on MSNBC or, other. But when we look, when we take the sort of more ideologically oriented media out of it, we generally see that women face less bias in the media than they used to, certainly. But the larger point about women's diversity is an important one. And it ties back in part to what I had said about the fact that one of the things we need is more opportunities for Republican women to advance in their party, Republican women, to run for office, and then for them to be able to get the party assistance and the nominations and primaries, so that the number of Republican women can increase so that we can increase the number of women overall.
We'll leave it there. Kathleen, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Sure.
Kathleen Dolan is a distinguished professor of political science at UW-Milwaukee. We talked to her today about the growing number of women lawmakers in the Wisconsin state legislature, in other states as well. Also, Congress, though still not matching the overall population as a whole. Earlier, we talked to WPR state government reporter Laurel White.